Welcome to another edition of Talk Nerdy to Me. I am your host, Troy Stegner, and I have one of my childhood idols on the line here right now. This man has won over 9 titles wrestling, including the WWF Tag Team. He was the better dressed half of the Dream Team. I have Mr. Brutus the Barber Beefcake on the line. Welcome, Brutus.
Hey, how are you, brother? Nice to be here.
What was it that got you started into wrestling? What gave you the bug to get into it?
Well, I used to go watch when I was a kid. Turns out there was another guy in the crowd. You might have heard of him. His name's Hulk Hogan. And we actually hooked up in the gym and then wound up training together and then breaking into business. And then, you know, it just happened to two young kids from Florida struck out on their own. And next thing you know, we're known around the world and two of the best wrestlers and anywhere. who would have known, you know, a couple kids from Florida.
Your most known character is Brutus the Barber. And
right
in the beginning, I don't think you really liked that one too much. So what brought you around to actually embracing that character?
You mean the Brutus Beefcake?
Yeah.
Well, there wasn't a whole lot of help on that end. The only people were some people in the office were pushing me towards, you know, they wanted to say I was from San Francisco, and that's back when there was a lot of gay stuff going on, and they were trying to push me in that direction. I was like, okay, well, it's not really what I plan on doing, and more like a male stripper kind of thing, you know, male dancer, beefcake, you know, the woman chaser, you know, and so it took a little time to kind of figure out what to do with it. And then next thing you know, they were changing it to the barber. You know, they added the barber thing on it and really didn't give me much help on that either. And so that was just trial and error. And then it was, you know, it seems like the crazier I got out with the barber stuff, the more the people loved it, you know? And so it just turned into, you know, a tremendously popular deal. And once again, it's like the true American dream, you know. It's you know, you start out, you know, with nothing, and then you just put yourself out there and you give it everything you got, and you you know, the sky's the limit, you know, and you can just achieve anything if you put your mind to it and you never quit. And that's the part. You can't quit, you know.
I know in the beginning you just used regular haircut scissors. How did you graduate to using hedge clippers?
Well, the whole deal was I'm walking out into arenas with 25,000-30,000 more people and with a pair of scissors in my hand, and I'm walking out the entrance towards the ring, and it's like I'm looking at the Jumbotron. You can't even see the scissors, you know, and it's about being visual. You know, it's almost like, you know, being in the ring out there is like being on Broadway. You know, you got to sing, you got to project, you got to, all your motions got to be big so that people can see you. So I thought, you know, hey, what about getting a pair of hedge clippers and fixing them up and coming out with those? And that's something visual that people could see. And the first time I ever did it, I knew that was the right move, because people went crazy out of their minds. They loved it. And, you know, so I just kept doing it.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, you got inducted to the Hall of Fame in 2019.
So, that's correct.
And you were inducted by Hulk Hogan. So what does it take to get a Hall of Fame career? Because I know you've done quite a bit, but there's still a lot of big wrestlers that haven't been inducted.
Yeah, you know, God, there's just so many guys out there that really deserve to be in it. I'm just so grateful to the McMahons, you know, for giving me all the opportunities, you know, to travel the world, go worldwide, and you know, be known around the world. You step off a plane in London or Germany or Italy or Japan or anything, and there's always people waiting for you. They know you're coming. They you know, the fans are there waiting to say hello to you, and it's like an incredible honor and a gift. And you know, I just tell the guys, hang on. I would begin to think I was never going to get the Hall of Fame thing. I just kind of because everybody kept saying, oh, it's going to be this year. Brutus is going to be this year. And it's been doing that for about 7 years. I was like, yeah, wow, okay, you know, I'm just not going to worry about it. And then as soon as I said I'm not going to worry about it, then it happened.
And I know you mentioned Vince McMahon. Before he came along, it was a lot of regional wrestling until he brought it all together worldwide. What was it like traveling through all the regional wrestling groups?
Well, the territories basically is what you're talking about. And I mean, only territory basically in this country I'd never worked was for the Texas territory, the Von Erichs, which is, you know, going to be in the El Paso area and was, you know, hugely popular. I did wrestle in Texas, you know, with them later on, but I never actually wrestled for them when it was territorial, but I wrestled all the other from Oregon to Minneapolis to Charlotte to Alabama to Louisiana, Mississippi, just everywhere, Connecticut, New York, Jersey, and Canada, a lot of wrestling in Canada over the years and stuff. And so just went everywhere. And it prepared me for that jump to the WWE. I happened to be there jumping at the time when it was just exploding, you know, and within the first couple of years of being there, you know, Hollywood came to love wrestling, and they, you know, were never accepted by those people until the 80s. And suddenly MTV and VH1, man, I was on those shows, and NBC, Saturday Night's Main Event. I did more matches on Saturday Night Main Event than any other WWF wrestler in history. See, I mean, they loved the barber on there, and they made sure, you know, that they kept putting me on there. I guess the ratings were just out of this world. So, I mean, what an honor, what a privilege, you know, and just to be, you know, that kind of a career and have, you know, people love you worldwide. It's just amazing.
A lot of people don't know. We almost lost the barber. Are you okay to talk about the parasailing accident?
Yeah, sure. You got me in a phone store here, though. I thought you told me this wasn't going to go too long. That's a long story, but make it a long story short. I shouldn't have even survived it. But by the grace of God, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart, I am boy that prays on his knees every single day. I was spared and allowed to recover and come back from the dead. And they said there's no chance. There's just no way. Doctors give me no chance. And a certain doctor down here took that, I guess, as a challenge and decided that he was going to save my life. And he did. Surely did.
You do a lot of con appearances. And a lot of people like to get, you know, memorabilia signed. What's the weirdest thing you've had somebody ask you to sign?
Oh, Christ. I don't know. I don't know. I've signed just about everything. I signed glasses, you know, because of cups and glasses and clothes, and phones. I mean, you name it. You name it. I can't think of anything real weird, just, you know, all kinds of memorabilia. There's a lot of stuff out there, towels and shirts. And I mean, I never signed an ice cream bar because there was a Brutus Beefcake ice cream bar. I didn't sign any ice cream bars. That's one thing I didn't sign, but pretty much everything else I think I've somehow signed.
I know you're busy, like you said, and I've just got one more question, and this one is a little more thought-provoking. It might take a little bit for you to answer this one, but I want to go ahead and ask you just point blank on this one. Are you more cake or pie?
I'm cake.
You're a cake guy. Wow, yeah, you're in the minority. Yeah, most people pick pie.
Yeah, I like them both, but
cake is your thing.
So I just want to ask you guys, having a great Valentine's Day out in El Paso today, because we're having a great day here in Florida. The sun's coming out.
Ours just started
this morning. Yeah, a little earlier there for you, right? Just what time we got there? 11 there?
We're 10. Actually, we're 2 hours back from you. So it's
10. Oh, geez.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Two hours. Wow. Well, I'm looking forward to El Paso. It's been a year or so, probably two since I've been there. And El Paso Con is always tremendous, great turnout, tons of wrestling fans. And I can't wait to get there and going to have all kind of fun. And, you know, the other day I was in Detroit and, geez, I must have cut five, six people's hair. One guy got a his big, long beard trimmed all up and everything. It was like people were coming out of the woodwork to get haircuts and stuff. You know, they always, I always say, you know, come get your hair cut, you know, and they, people are walking up going, will you cut my hair? I'm like, sure. And I cut all their hair with the big snippers, the big clippers, you know, the edge clippers.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. And the guy's beard, I trimmed his beard and everything. Pair of edge clippers, go figure.
So if you guys need a haircut, come on out April and see Brutus. He'll hook you up.
Absolutely, man. Love it. Love it.
But like I said, we'll see you in April, and thank you for answering all our silly little questions today.
No, no worries. No worries. You guys have a happy Valentine's Day, I'll be seeing everybody in April. Can't wait.
And neither can we.
All right, bro. Thank you.
Get nerdy with me. Tell me what game that you get on. Is it COD or Eve? What kind of class do you play, girl, in an RPG?